Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
We are dealing with the second of five reasons why Paul boasted as he gives them to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, you remember that when Paul is talking about boasting, he's talking about giving evidences for his call as an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's what was being questioned. That's what was being attacked by the false teachers who were trying to draw away members of the Corinthian church. And so, though it was very distasteful for Paul to have to respond in this way, which sounded very much like he was tooting his own horn, like he was boasting, like he was calling attention to his great accomplishments and credentials, which was not something that he normally did. Nevertheless, when it was necessary to correct errors in the minds of God's people that were obstacles to their spiritual health, then Paul was willing to do this. And so he dealt with critics in chapter 10. He's continuing to deal with that criticism in chapter 11. He has stated in the first three verses of the chapter his number one reason for boasting, which is to assert his apostolic responsibility, to simply say, I've got to tell you these things to remind you that I have a call upon my life. I have been called to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, which gives me certain responsibilities in the work of the gospel, and particularly very specific responsibilities to those who have come to Christ under my ministry. I have to guide you. I have to guard you. I have to endeavor to present you as a chaste virgin in the bride of Christ. And so that's the first reason why I stoop, you might say, to this practice of declaring my credentials. But the second reason in verse 4 is to develop increased discernment, that is, to develop in the Corinthians increased discernment. They were listening, some of them, to the false teachers, and they needed to have those wrong ideas corrected, but they needed to be able to recognize error themselves rather than always having Paul point it out. But since they weren't there yet, Paul is pointing it out so that they will, hopefully, and I think they did, return to Paul's teaching authority and listen to what he says, so that they could learn how to recognize false doctrine when it came to them. So that's where we are on this Tuesday, August 8. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for supporting this ministry with your financial gifts. Verse 4. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Paul is saying, if somebody comes to you with a counterfeit Jesus, on the one hand, a counterfeit spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but a counterfeit spirit, on the other hand, or third, a counterfeit gospel, any of these things, if somebody comes to you with these things, some of you seem to be giving that an attentive ear. a welcoming ear, and I'm concerned about that. You may well put up with it, he says in the last part of verse 4. You may well listen to this and be drawn away. So I've got to point this out to you. If he comes, if someone, false teacher, comes with a counterfeit Jesus, that is another Jesus than the one that is presented in the Bible, please understand he has no saving power. If someone comes to you with a Jesus who is not eternal deity, the one true God in the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if someone comes to you with a Jesus who is not the Son of God, then he has no saving power. You better not adopt that counterfeit Jesus. If someone comes to you with another Jesus who is not an atonement for sin, they present to you a Jesus who is a good teacher and a good example and who has a good moral code and has some things that would be helpful to humanity if they would pay attention to him, but is not an atoning sacrifice upon the cross for sins, then that Jesus has no saving power. That's a counterfeit. Recognize that. Discern. If someone comes to you with a Jesus who makes no serious claims upon you, he doesn't demand to be Lord of your life, that you are to surrender to his authority and engage in his service and be willing to sacrifice for, then he's not the true Jesus of the Bible. There are a lot of people who would like to have a nice Jesus who makes them feel good emotionally and who will help them in their times of need and crisis and will help them to be more successful in life but doesn't make any serious demands upon their lives. If you have been presented with a Jesus like that, don't accept that as the true Jesus of the Bible. That is not Jesus Christ. That is not the true Jesus. That's a counterfeit. You have probably noticed, if you've been in Christian circles enough to have circulated around a bit and to have sampled, as it were, different groups, different churches, different teachings, you have no doubt noticed that everybody virtually who calls themselves a Christian talks about Jesus in favorable terms. But the question is, who are they talking about? What do they mean when they use that term Jesus? Some of them are very, very vague. If you really asked them, tried to pin it down, tell me a little bit more about this Jesus. Tell me who he is. Tell me what he did. I think you would soon discover in some cases that they don't really have a clue as to what are the important elements of this one. If you ask them who he is and they say, well, he was a good teacher who walked upon the earth 2,000 years ago and taught the multitudes and performed miracles. And that's as far as they go. All of those things are true, of course, but that's as far as they go. Then you need to say, well, wait a minute. Is he different from other men, other human beings? Well, yes. In what way? Well, he was better. He was a better person. He had a very high moral code. He was a very effective teacher. He had a very persuasive personality. If that's as far as they go, they're not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. They're talking about an impotent counterfeit. They need to know that he is the eternal Son of God. They need to know that he came from heaven. He's not like any other man. None of us came from heaven, but Jesus Christ did. None of us were born of a virgin without a human father, but Jesus Christ was. None of us were born sinless, but Jesus Christ was. None of us lived sinless lives, but Jesus Christ did. I think I've told you this before, but I keep bumping into it from time to time when I'm reading snippets about surveys and other religious information. The appalling percentage of people who call themselves Christians who do not agree with the statement that Jesus Christ never sinned. I forget what the percentage is, but it is huge. I think it's over 50%, but I could be mistaken. But it's in that range. It's either a little over, a little under 50%. It may be as high as 60%, but I might be remembering that incorrectly. But let's suppose it's only 48 or 49%. That's almost half. Then that means half of the people who call themselves Christians are not Christians because the Jesus Christ that they say they believe in, the one that ostensibly makes them a Christian, is not the Savior. He is unable to save. If he sinned, then he is not the sinless sacrifice for those who trust in him. He is not the atoning sacrifice that will satisfy the demands of a sinlessly perfect, holy God. If Jesus Christ sinned, he is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible, who knew no sin. So please listen carefully and don't be afraid to ask questions when people talk about loving Jesus, following Jesus, praising Jesus. What Jesus are they talking about? Because Paul had that problem clear back in the first century, 2,000 years ago, with the members of the church at Corinth, some of whom were listening to the false teachers and their presentation of their version of Jesus, who was not the biblical Jesus. It was a counterfeit Jesus, and as Paul puts it here, for if he who comes, that false teacher, if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, how are you going to be able to tell the difference between the false Jesus and the true Jesus? You've got to compare the Jesus that you are hearing about with the Word of God that has already been delivered. A different one, says Paul, whom we have not preached. Paul is an apostle, preached the truth about Jesus Christ. Paul is an apostle, wrote epistles filled with doctrine, Christological doctrine about the identity of Jesus Christ. Read Ephesians, read Colossians, and you'll know what he preached. Now, if someone comes to you and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, he differs from the one that Paul preaches. And, of course, in their day, they actually heard him preach, the members of the church at Corinth, with their own ears. But in our day, we read in the Scriptures what Paul preached about Jesus. And if somebody comes presenting a different Jesus from that, then he's not a true Jesus. He's a counterfeit one. And he says, if they come doing that, skipping to the last phrase of the verse, you may well put up with it! Exclamation point in my Bible. You may give that a pass. You may allow that to go unchallenged. You may give a sympathetic ear to that. You may be tempted to affirm that Jesus is as good as any Jesus, and that's not true. That is dangerous doctrine. You better develop more discernment than that. And to help you do that, I am boasting. I am explaining my apostolic credentials. I am defending my apostolic office. I am giving you reasons why it should be clear without any question that I am indeed an apostle of Jesus Christ, called and authorized by Christ to do this very work, so that you can tell a true Jesus from a counterfeit one. Your eternal destiny depends upon it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.